That means to go nuts. Go crazy, run, dance, sing. Who cares what anybody else thinks? That's what it means. That's what praise actually means. And everything that has breath is to praise him. So when he says praise him, you go crazy. So let's praise him, shall we? Come on, Jesus! Woo! Yes, Jesus! Yes, Jesus! Yes, yes, yes! What an awesome God, folks. What an awesome God. What an awesome God. What an awesome feeling in this building. And I'll tell you something. We go to a lot of churches and you don't always feel what we feel in here. I promise you, you don't. You got it, folks. Keep doing this, because this is awesome. You walk in, you can feel God. You're in the middle of the worship, you can feel God. When you're praising, you can feel God. And that's what we're here for, is to bless him and love him and praise him back. So in Jesus' name, God bless you all. And please take your seats. Where's Pastor Sutton? Who's number two? Are you number one or number two? Number three. Oh, my word. I met all the numbers this morning. And the grandchildren are numbered 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. You can probably tell by now I am not from this neck of the woods. I don't speak like y'all. I really struggle. But somebody just said to me, "Man, I like your accent." And I look and go, "I haven't got an accent. I'm speaking English. You've got the accent, not me." And the funny thing is, I found out last week that Birmingham, Alabama is actually named after my hometown. Woo! So I've never been here before, so I am blessed to be in the namesake of my hometown. So what an awesome, awesome privilege it is to be with you folks in Birmingham, Alabama. Yeah, we come from a steel town, so I would believe that's what this town would be then. Hard-working people, tough people, stubborn people, hard-headed people. They all need salvation, all need the Holy Ghost. There you go then. That's what you're here for. Our mission field is England, but your mission field is Birmingham, Alabama. That's what you're called for. Don't forget, we're all missionaries and we're all preachers. We're all ministers of the gospel. If you've got the Holy Ghost, he said that his anointing is for what? To heal the brokenhearted, set the captive free, give liberty to those that have been bruised, and to preach the gospel. So don't just look at me this morning. You better preach with me, because y'all are all preachers too. Awesome. Now, just a quick historical fact. Some of you may know this. You can thank the British for a couple of days off that you get per year. One of them is July the 4th. We give you that. Now, I can really kind of push it out a little bit and get the boat a bit further into the deeps, but the country was actually called a couple of hundred years ago somebody's colonies. And whose colonies were they? I love this man down there. You're anointed. The British colonies. So when that actual little skirmish happened, how many Americans fought in that war? If it was the British colonies, I'll let you off. The British fought the British for independence. You go and tell your history teacher that. You'll love me forever. So the truth sets you free, so I'm just giving you the truth, so when you leave here, you're going to be free. But we did. We actually had a little skirmish because we left the country of Great Britain because of the tyrannical church that was in England. It was from Rome. What on earth do people follow Roman pagan worship? I don't know. But somehow they came in and flooded the place and threatened to kill everybody if they didn't worship God their way. So the English went, "We ain't going to do that." And they were called Quakers. The Pilgrims were Quakers. And they were called Quakers because they shook when they prayed. They had the Holy Ghost. Amen. Anybody ever shook under the power and the presence of God? Well, that's what they were. That's what your actual nation was founded upon, was real Holy Ghost-filled principles. Well, somehow, folks, we got to get back to them. Because your nation was a great nation, but man, you're sliding backwards just like we did in Great Britain. England is not like it used to be. It used to be the place where the missionaries came from and the actual evangelists and you name them, we've been there. And is Pastor Sutton still here? I know he's had to go to a funeral. He's still here somewhere. He's already gone. Man, he's quick, isn't he? All right, folks, he's already gone. Let's go home. Where's the barbecue place we got to go to? God bless you all. Goodbye. Oh, I'm sorry. Look, the cat's away. The little mice are going to start playing. My wife is with me. I do want to thank Pastor Sutton so much. He's a great guy. I love you, Pastor. He's awesome. He really is. And I can say this without him being here. He's one of the most genuine men I've ever met. He really is. You know, man, I do have discernment. I really do. It's one of the gifts and something about when I met him on Friday night, we was at the minister's meeting, and as soon as I met him, I was like, that's got to be the man who's got, and he was. I walked up and said, are you Pastor Sutton? He said, yes, and I'm with you Sunday morning. And there was an instant connection. This morning, he broke it a little bit. He said, top of the morning to you. Well, that's not English, that's Irish. I'm like, oh! And do you know what he just did before he left? He hugged my neck and he went, top of the morning. Oh, man. But I do thank him so much in your family and your church family, because without a pastor, folks, we don't have a church. You don't. You don't have a church without a pastor. You do, and when you got good folks like this, man, it can only be better things ahead of for you know. There can only be greater things ahead. So as I said, you don't always feel this when you go to churches. Some churches, man, it's like preaching through mud. But I can feel this is going to be fun. This is already ready to go. Actually, Brother Collins, the way you was like leading the worship and praying, I'm thinking I'm done. You can go home as after he's finished. But I have stood in pulpits in Great Britain, in London, and Charles Spurgeon's one of them. And I know you probably know these names if you've been around Christianity long enough, or I've stood in the pulpits of John Wesley. And these men are great names, but you know they started somewhere, didn't they? Just like here, all of us have got that incredible possibility inside of us to do great things for God. Doesn't matter what our name is, it's what happens when we've finished. It's what I do while I'm here that gives me my heaven reward. So, folks, I'm going to preach a little message in a short while, and I will pray that if you have any heaviness in your heart or you've got something that you need to kind of deal with today, I would pray that you would leave it at this altar and never once again. If you've got sickness in your body, whatever it is, leave it at this altar and never pick it back up and walk out of here a brand new creature once more in Christ. Every day, refresh me, Father. Every day. So my wife is with me. I've just spilt the water on the pulpit. Sometimes when I talk, I put my hand on the side of a pulpit and I put my finger straight in the glass. So I'm not going to rent Ezo. That's one of those false religions. Here's my wife.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm one of you. See, I speak like you. Over in England, I'm the one with the accent, and believe it or not, they love the American accent, and they could listen to it all day long, so it's just the reverse of listening to one of them speak. They especially love the Southern American accent, so if you make it over there, don't be surprised when they want to hear you speak and say things, and if a British person calls you a Yank, don't get offended, because we're all Yanks. Doesn't matter where you're from in America, we're all Yanks. It's a pleasure to be here, a privilege to be here. Thank you, and I don't want to forget to thank all of you, any of you who give to Sheaves for Christ or Mother's Memorial. We benefit, and we thank you greatly. It's a huge help to us on the field, a huge help. For those of you who haven't been to Great Britain, it's a completely different place. It's a completely different culture. Even though we both speak a form of English, although the British don't believe that we speak English, I'll tell you though, they have different accents over there. And they're very close together. You can go 20 miles and they'll speak with a different accent. So it's just like a condensed version of our country here. But we do, well, let's see. My husband always complains. I say they do things differently. I'll include myself on this because I've lived there for 11 years. So we do things differently from America. We drive on the other side of the road. We have our steering wheel on the other side of the car. You can get used to that, although I didn't look at my rearview mirror for at least 6 months. It just felt so unnatural to be in that location. So I didn't use it. But the hardest thing we have with visitors from North America is crossing the road because they always look the wrong way. You know, if you're looking one way for years and then you've got to look the other way, it's just, yeah, we've pulled a few people back from being hit, definitely. And they are not pedestrian friendly over there. Pedestrians have their place and their time. So remember that when you go over. We use a lot of different words over there for things. We call French fries chips. We call potato chips crisps. Cookies are biscuits. The trunk of our car is a boot. And the hood is the bonnet. So it's the boot and the bonnet. Our sidewalk is called the pavement. Just it. Get on the pavement. Walk on the pavement. That's what they call it. Our yard is called a garden. Even if you don't have anything growing in it, it's still called. I have a front garden and I have a back garden. So they use a lot of different terms. They slant a lot of the words that we're used to hearing one way. They say, have you heard of Nike? They call it Nike. Adidas, they call Adidas. Nokia is Nokia. Just a lot of different terms. Yogurt is yogurt. Tacos are tacos. You know, pasta is pasta. We're not sure if they're saying pastor or pastor. Get those two confused. They do sound similar. Garage is garage. And we don't call them gas stations. We call them petrol stations. So we have petrol stations. And we pay almost $10 for a gallon of gas. So don't complain about the $4, because we would love to be paying $4 for a gallon of gas. And hence the tiny cars you see all over Europe and Great Britain. That's why we drive tiny cars. Nobody can afford gas. It's very expensive. Our sales tax is 20%. And that's on everything except for grocery store food. So if you're going to buy something, you need to make sure you know if that price includes tax or not. It's a very expensive country. Right now, it takes about $1.70 to make one of our British pounds, and that's our currency. That's actually a lot better than what it was the first 7 years we were there. It was $2 to make 1 pound. So maybe that's why we're the only missionaries in England. I know the money dollars go further in South America and Africa, but God has called us there, and we know we're there for a purpose, and he has allowed us to just witness amazing things there. It's not a country, it's not a Christian country. They've gone so far from God, it's amazing. And I know my husband will give you some more statistics, but 1% of the nation attends any type of church. That's a very small amount. So, folks, every time I come back to my country, America, I see that we're going in that direction. Stand up for what we know is true. Stand up and spend more time in prayer, or else we're going to end up like them. Thank you.
Did you understand her? She speaks like y'all. Yeah, well, I've got a DVD, but Jesus, a lot of guys at that booth who hit one button. Goodness me. Is it that heavy? It's a 10-minute DVD, but right now I don't know whether to show it or not. Do you want me to show you the DVD? It basically tells you what we've been doing, what's been happening. We built a new church, and we're building a community center. And you got drug addicts and alcoholics on there that have been sober and clean for years, etc., etc. I mean, let me just show it. I'll leave that up to you, folks. If you say, don't worry about it. But if you want to see it, then all right, then all right, young man. There you go. Britannia rolls the waves.
Something back to go and further yourself in the field, especially in the mission field. It is not a sacrifice, it is a privilege. As most people know, Liverpool, the city you mentioned, the word Liverpool, the city of Liverpool, straight away they come up with the Beatles. Well, they become a very famous foursome. Back in the 60s, these men, apparently they said they affected the whole world. Well, we're going to change that. We're going to say that Liverpool will be recognised, but not for the Beatles. But Liverpool will be recognised as we lift up the name of Jesus Christ and we have revival here in Great Britain. But I would hope and pray that it will spread throughout this world, right here from Liverpool, England.
We've been in England for 10 years now, and when we arrived, we took a small work that had been kept together by a handful of ladies. These ladies had stayed together for many years without anyone to lead them. To say that they were happy to have a pastor and his family arrive is an understatement. One of the first barriers that we had to face was the fact that the UK is no longer a church-going nation. 99% of this country does not attend any type of worship service. So we struggled with that, but through a lot of prayer, a lot of tears, and a lot of hard work, God has blessed the Liverpool Church and turned it into a thriving, growing, praising, and praying work.
We got here 10 years ago. The day before I left, I had a phone call from a man called Reverend Billy Cole. And he said to me, he said, I'm going to pray for you every day. You're going to the hardest mission field in the world. Well, Brother Cole, if you knew what I now know today, within the first year, I was asleep in my bed, picked up off my bed, turned around, the life being choked out of me, with a demonic spirit standing in my doorway at my home. But as I fought and come out of this, I remember being able to stand up and looking at it face to face. And it spoke to me and said, I know who you are. And I'll never forget the response. I know who you are too. Now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you to leave. He turned around and closed the door. And it wasn't long after that
where we began to bring the first new converts into the church here in Liverpool.
It has been amazing to watch people come to God and see Him transform them, change their lives, and put them in a direction that they would have never thought possible. I do believe this nation has a special place in the end time revival. I feel that Great Britain is the key to unlocking a wave of revival in Europe.
Since our last deputation, and obviously after the construction of the new church, we have seen, and it's been awesome, close to 90 people baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost in Liverpool, England. Exciting times, absolutely. We've already planted another church not far from here, an hour away, in Wales, in North Wales, the home of the Welsh Revival in Llandudno. So it's exciting times in Liverpool, and we pray that you would sponsor us and join us in the mission field in Liverpool, England.
North America, raising our budget has been difficult as a mother because our children have remained in England. Our 24-year-old is full-time employed and our 21 and 19-year-olds are attending college. God has given me peace with this as all three have stepped into leadership and have taken on many of the church responsibilities while we are away, including leading worship, preaching, and administration. God has anointed them with ministries that really complement each other, and I'm really proud of them, and I'm thankful to God for this.
Father. Anybody have to live without their father? Say, Father!
Father!
You didn't make it this far, no. He was your Father!
Father!
Hey, glory, glory, let's call him Savior one more time. Savior!
Savior!
Now let's lift up the name of Jesus.
Under Brother Humus's ministry, I now have a very passionate relationship with Jesus Christ. Being involved in the kingdom is my life. I'm the youth leader of the church. I'm now involved in the district of the UPC GB&I, the central district.
I come here about 2.5 years ago, but before that I was an idiot. I was drinking really heavily. I also got into taking drugs quite a lot, to the point where I would have to steal from my own parents, steal from people around me, just to keep supplying the money for it. Through that, I started self-harming, and I was suicidal for a good few years. Luckily, through the grace of God, as soon as you fill me with the Spirit, I haven't looked back. I mean, I've still made mistakes, I've still been stupid, But Brother Hemus has always been there for me. He's always been there to guard me and just to show me that what life is really like. Thankfully now I am ushering for the church. I'm now the missions coordinator. I'm actually in leadership training, which I thought I would never do. But thankfully God brought Brother Hemus back to Liverpool to reach out to people like me. If it wasn't for God and if it wasn't for Brother Hemus, I wouldn't be sitting here right now, and I would probably be 6 feet under.
Hello, my name's Bill. I was born and bred in this community. Before I found God, I was an alcoholic, druggie. Then the pastor came to visit me through a friend. He prayed for me. The next morning I woke up. I was actually, honestly believe I was delivered of all illnesses, addictions, sicknesses. That's how I found God. I just thank God for the pastor. Thank God he found him. Thank God he found us. Thank God God found us. And now we're building for the future, for the people who are in the same situation as I was in.
We are not ashamed of this name. Say it loud.
There's never ever been nothing in this community, in this town. There's never been anyone who's made an effort in this town. There's just so much depression and alcoholism and drug abuse in this town. What's happening now is more and more people are beginning to stand up and listen to what's going on. More and more people are watching what's going on. More and more people are attending the services. What we need now is to get this community centre finished, built. We can bring a community centre together. We can have the church as powerful as God wants it to be.
Anybody had to live without their father? Say father!
Father!
You didn't make it this far, no. He was your father!
Father!
Hey, glory, glory, let's call the Savior. One more time, Savior.
Savior!
Now let's lift up the name of Jesus.
Call him Jesus!
The one that saved your soul, what's his name?
One more time we ask. We do thank our old partners and we definitely thank our new partners too. So we ask you for your prayers and your support in the mission field in Great Britain. Thank you and God bless you.
I bow before the King. I bow before the King.
Don't we serve a great God?
I bow before the King.
We really, really do. Thank you, young men, men's. For one button, there's 10 of them. Fantastic. Actually, the last man on there, I've just been sitting there, and I go back 9 years to Bill, and I was just looking at him. The first time I ever seen the man, he was tied down in a mental asylum. He tried to kill himself. And I went in from a friend who asked him about, you know, I need help. And he said, look, there's a new preacher in town. And he said, we've met them and I want to bring him to you. And the day I went to see him, you have to go through security checks and you go into the, well, I don't know if you call it the asylum, but an institution. And that morning when I seen him, his hands and his feet were tied to the bed. And he had rammed a glass in his throat and into his wrist that morning. And when I got to him, I said, well, give me a year of your life. And I said, you will change for eternity. He's been with us for 9 years. It's been awesome. That's reality, folks. That is reality. So if you would let me for about 4 hours preach to you, that would be wonderful. I will not keep you long. Your pastor said apparently I'm being taken for ribs or something. What would it be called? What's a famous rib place? Or whose? Say it again. Jiminy's. 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 I'm going there whenever she's saying, I think. So I'll be about 5 minutes. I want to go and get some ribs. Right. If you would turn to the Bible, to the Matthew 16. And we're going to start in verse 13. And when you get there, is it going to be a pump behind the screen? Nope. Because you're all kind of standing there like that. And if you could say, is it there now? If you could say amen if you have a Bible in front of you. Carry your sword, folks. Carry your sword. Verse 13 of chapter 16. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that are John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. The Father is not sitting on a big chair with a big long white beard overlooking this earth. The Father is a spirit. God is a spirit. Jesus Christ was the manifestation, the revealing of God in the flesh upon the earth. So he had a spiritual revelation. And he said, upon this, he said, I say unto thee, unto thou, that thou art Peter. Now, don't forget what Jesus just said to Peter. Thou art Peter. And upon this rock, upon the revelation that you have had, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Heaven, can we lift up our voices once more before we take our seats and bless him? Father, empty out my heart, empty out my soul, my spirit this morning. And give it all unto you, Father, for whatever you need to give me today. I'm ready, willing, and able to receive it. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. God bless you all if you would take your seats in Jesus' name. Right, folks, if you have the Holy Ghost, and you have been baptized for the remission of your sin in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have had the same revelation as Peter the apostle. We are declaring that, yes, I know who you are, Jesus. As even Paul the apostle turned around and said, great is the controversy of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. This was God upon the earth. That he actually was seen of the angels, preached to the Gentiles, and received back into glory from whence he came. So the apostle Peter was not trying to make up a new religion or trying to come up with some new doctrines or dogmas. He said, you're the one. You are God manifest in the flesh. You are the Christ. You're the anointed one. And he said, because you know this, I am going to build my church upon what you've said. So God is not going to build his church on anything else but what he said he would build it upon. Right, you and I, can I come off this pulpit, folks, and come and talk to you? Right. Do you think that day when Peter walked up and Jesus walked up to Peter on the boat, that Peter knew what was going to happen in his life? It's cold over here, isn't it? Man, you can hang meat up on this side of the building. I like it. Thank you. So did you think that he knew when Jesus walked up to that boat that everything that was going to happen in Peter's life, do you think Peter knew what was going to happen next? He hadn't got a clue, just like us. But there was something about Peter that he had a desire, I believe, more than any other one of the other apostles, apart from James and John. Because when anything profound or prolific happened in the scripture, who was there? Peter, John, and James. Now, he was a fisherman. They were all fishermen, these three. Has anybody ever fished? How hard is it to fish? Oh, come on. Oh, yeah. You're not one of them technical fishermen, are you? You can get a stick, a piece of string, some jigglets, stick it on the end on a hook and put it in the water, and that's fishing to me. How hard is it really to fish? He didn't have a degree in theology, did he? He wasn't a brain surgeon. He wasn't an he was a fisherman. But somehow in the heart of this man, God could use in the most mighty ways, incredible ways, because he could answer the desire of the man's heart. Even though Peter was a lunatic. Pete was crazy, if you ask me. I'm looking forward to shaking his hand and hugging his neck. Because I think Peter was a little bit like myself. A bit nuts. He's the one that argued with Jesus, if you remember. Jesus said, they're going to kill me in 3 days. And he physically grabs hold of Jesus and he pulls him to the side. And says, that's not going to happen. And what did then Jesus say to him? Get thee behind me, Satan. Now, hang on a minute. He's been given keys to the kingdom of heaven, and now he's got Satan being cast away from him. It's a bit like us, isn't it, really? We come to church, and by tomorrow morning, we're getting Satan taken away from us. So here, this man Peter had no idea what the rest of his life was going to entail, but he knew that I got to follow Jesus Christ until the day that I die. And this man kept making mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. He said stupid stuff just like I do. How many times have I got to forgive? 7 times? Sounded good, didn't it? Try 490 times. What? At least he asked, though. You don't see the other wimps asking, do you? All right, you fellas, you there, come and sit on that platform there. Go on, you lot there, sit down there for a minute. Come on, go. Shh, move it. I like to move it. Come on, get up there. Take a seat. You're on a boat. I'll be back in a minute. You're on a boat. These are the disciples. I'll be back in a minute, disciples. You ready to start rowing? That's a wide boat, isn't it? You must have some long oars in the middle. You get your feet in the water. There you go. I'll be back in a minute, boys. These are the disciples. Oh, help us, Jesus. So, if you go to the Mount of Transfiguration, who was there? Peter, John, and James. Same fisherman. Had more of a desire, I believe, that God could use it, so every time something like this was happening, there they were. But Peter, you know, Peter sees God actually manifest, and there's Moses, and there's Elijah, and he's looking at him, and he starts to get bricks in his hands to build something. And Jesus is going, oh, you're just coming to see who I am, Peter. But I don't know what to do. I can tell. Put the bricks down. Just worship. This is Peter, the wonderful apostle. This man was brilliant in the eyes of theologians. He was a lunatic, folks. And I know one day I'm going to walk up to Pete and he's going to go, you're right. Just like you, I said all them stupid things and made stupid mistakes. So I'm going to go back to the... Look at them over there. This is the same guy, folks, that was given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Now, let me ask you this. Who else was given to the keys to the kingdom out of the 12 disciples? Not one of them. Doesn't say that, does it? So Pete was given the keys because of the revelation that he had. And he said, thou art Peter. Don't forget who you are, because I am the Christ. Now, there's Peter fishing with all his little mates. The guys. Hey, these are the men, the guys. And there's a storm going, and you're in a storm now, folks. Look like it, will you? That's it. Come on. Ho, ho. Hey, get your rope. Come on. Start rowing. Here's Matthew and Bartholomew and Thomas the doubter. You're the doubter at the end. Look, you can tell. Look at him. He's the doubter. I ain't going to do nothing. I'm going to die. I think I'm going to die on this boat. I'm going to drown in a few minutes. So why row? And the storm's going crazy. And there's our Peter sees a man walking on the water. Now look at these the other 11 knuckleheads, they're on the boat with them. But one gets up and goes, if that's you, Jesus, well, what a thing to say. Who else is going to be walking on the water, you know? Is that you, Dad? No, I don't think so. And he said, is that you, Jesus? And he said, and if it's you, bid me come. So what did Jesus then say to Peter? Come, now. You're drowning now, okay? Good old Thomas. So Peter steps off the boat onto solid ground. He stepped onto water. But did he sink? He did in a few seconds. Now, the man has fished this sea all his life. So he knows that he should be sinking right now. He should be drowning, basically. And he stepped off a boat. Now, all the other guys, look at these here. Come on, fellas. Step into the water with me. That's probably the same response that Peter got when he asked him. You do it, Pete. Well, I am. But then he goes, come on, you try it. Right, I'm going to do this on my own. Forget these guys. See, this does take people in the church, folks, that if we set our minds, we can do a lot more than the person sitting next to us. We can see a lot more, be part of the things of God, the supernatural, the power, the healings, the deliverances. If we set our heart and our desire upon Him, then we can go, God, I'll try this, even though it might not work the first time around. I'm going to try it. So he goes, one, two, and there's a 15-foot wave. He's going to crash over him. He looks at the wave, and he takes his eyes off Jesus, and what happens? It begins to sink. Now, look at this. I'm going to cut you back for a minute. These fellas write about Peter. Peter never wrote about, I walked on water. Book one and two, not once was it mentioned. But these knuckleheads mention it. And what do they write about Peter? He sank. Look at these wonderful disciples. Now, where's Peter? He's out in the supernatural. Oh, hang on a minute, you ain't been sinking, fella. 1 inch could be sinking, couldn't it? He could have just took his... Oh, and then Jesus grabbed hold of him, so now he is standing out in the midst of this incredible storm that is now being quietened. Storm, be still. Boom. And these guys are like, wow. But you're too late, fellas. You didn't try it. You missed your chance to walk on the water with Jesus Christ out in the supernatural, because that's where God dwells, in the spirit realms. So you fellas missed it. So there's Peter. Well, I was sinking, but he's going to go one, two, three. He's back at the boat. And he gets on the boat and goes, all right, fellas, at least I tried it. And he's going to go and write about me in your little books. I know you are. That's okay. That's okay. I've also got the keys. I ain't got the clue what the keys are for, but I've been given some keys. I've never actually physically taken them and put them in my little tunic. But I got them, and you lot ain't. So go on, swim back over there, will you? Go on. Thank you. Great disciples here. So the same Peter grabs hold of Jesus, and, you know, he's pulled him to the side and, get thee behind me, Satan, said, you save us the things of men and not of God. And he said, you know, Peter, before the cock crows in the morning, you're going to deny me 3 times. Never! That is not going to happen. I'll kill him. Big Pete. So what happens? God the Gethsemane, and off goes Judas. Which one was Judas? Oh, they're all pointing at one of them. Hey, Jim. Go and do what you do and do it quickly. So they go to the garden, and who did Jesus ask to pray for him? Peter. Wow. Peter, John, and James. He said, "You three, just pray for me for 1 hour. Can you do that for 1 hour? Can you pray for 1 hour for me?" Okay. And off he goes, and you know the story, what happens when he's praying, and he even begins to sweat blood, and he comes back, and what are they doing? Asleep. It's like some of you on Sunday morning. Come to church for the rest. How old are you? Fantastic. I'm coming back to you in a minute. What's your name? Chloe. So, falls asleep. He walks up. That's my wife. You're Pete. Couldn't you just pray for 1 hour, Peter? What's wrong with you, son? 1 hour. Carry on praying. And he goes away and he comes back, and what are you doing again? You're snoring this time. You ain't even sleeping. Your head's back, the drool's dripping down. You've gone. And what did he say? Oh, sleep on. This is the great apostle Peter. Come on, folks. I didn't do stuff like he did. Ever. So what happens? Up comes Judas with his little band of merry men and kisses Jesus, and he says, "Why do you betray me with a kiss, friend?" And they come and get Jesus, and what happens? The guards grab hold of him, and out of nowhere comes Peter, the fisherman with a sword. He's a nutter. Pete has lost it. See, and he was a fisherman. So what's a fisherman doing with a sword? Are you telling me he was that good with a sword that he could go and just cut an ear off? Give me a break, man. He took that sword and went, yeah, whack. He was going to kill him. He was going to put the sword between his head and split it wide open. This is the great apostle that has the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Are you kind of getting adrift a little bit now? All right, this is the great apostle. We can't attain these heights. Yes, we can. We can go above and beyond that, because Jesus said the former and the latter will reign together, but the latter will be stronger and greater than the former, and we are the latter and they were the former. Of course we can attain what these men attained, and even more so, even greater than they have ever did. Greater miraculous, the greater things. He said, you are going to perform in the latter days. So come on, folks. How many mistakes have you ever made? I make them all the time, but God has never beat me down. He's never come up to me and kicked me and smashed me because I've done stupid stuff. And he's never done it to you either. So hang on. It gets even worse for Peter. So what happens? Pete, put the sword down, son. What are you doing with that sword? You don't even know what you do. You'll die by the stupid thing. Just put it down. And then in front of all his little buddies, Jesus picks an ear up, walks up to the guard whose blood's pumping out of his head, and puts it back on in front of all his mates. And he's like, not again. Jesus, I keep doing these stupid things. And every time I do something, all the other 11 are watching me being stupid. And it's just ridiculous. What's wrong with me? Then what happens then? They arrest him and take him down to the court of the Pharisees. And Matthew writes about Peter. Peter was afar off. He was miles away. Wimp. Good old Matthew. Which one was Matthew out of you lot? So what happens? Goes into the town. Somebody walks up and says, "You're one of them." He said, "I'm not one of them." "Shut up." So then somebody else walks up. "You are one of them fishermen from Galilee." "Ah, shut up, you. You're so stupid. Where you come from?" And then Chloe says, "You are one of them. Your speech betrays you."
What?
Excuse me for 1 second. And then what does he do to little Chloe? big burly fisherman, you stupid little thing. I am not one of them. And he cusses her out. Cussed Chloe. Look at little Chloe. How could you cuss little Chloe out? But Peter did. A few hours before, he's trying to kill somebody. Now he's cussing a young girl out. And this is the great apostle. Hello. You don't kind of think of Peter like this, do you? We all think he's a saint. I'm a saint. I got the Holy Ghost. I'm just as good as he is, if not even trying to be better. So, there's old Peter, denies him the third time. The cock crows. Anybody can crow like a cockerel? I missed. Oh, hallelujah. Do that again. I think they just went out the back door. We need a doctor for that person. That's a good shot. And what happens? Everything, all the stupidity, all the mistakes, everything that he said, everything that he's done, all comes flooding back. And he says that he went outside of the gates of the city and wept bitterly. That word wept bitterly, everything about Peter come out of him that day. Peter went to the altar and said, God, how many more mistakes am I going to make before I commit to you completely? How many more things am I going to say stupid or do before I dedicate my whole life to you forever? And you know what I love about this? Go to the crucifixion. Was he there? One was mentioned, John. One disciple made it to the crucifixion. Now watch this. Let me see a show of hands. If you would have gone to the resurrection. Show me if you would have got up early Sunday morning and gone to the resurrection. Well, folks, you guys with the hands up, not one of the disciples went to the resurrection either. See, people don't realize missing one church service on a Sunday morning doesn't mean anything. Ask the disciples when you see them. Sunday morning, they missed the resurrection. So is it important, Brother Collins, to have... Yes, it is. So what happens? Even Mary Magdalene goes down to the tomb with the embalming fluid for the body. She didn't believe he was going to be resurrected. These wonderful disciples, folks, who have seen the dead raised and the blind see and the lame walking and the deaf can hear. They've seen the most incredible miracles and the miraculous. Even John wrote all the books in all the world couldn't contain the miracles that he did. And they seen them with their own eyes and still wasn't there Sunday morning for the resurrection. She goes down, having seven devils cast out of her, goes with the embalming fluid, gets to the tomb. The tomb's open and he's not in there. Oh, my word. No disciples, no Peter. He's in bed. See, these are the great disciples. And we think we can't attain this. Come on, folks. We're lying to ourselves. Just look what that was really like. They were worse than us. At least we're here on Sunday morning. So what happens? The guy trying to kill somebody, cusses her out. Poor little Chloe. Forgive him, Chloe, you have to. Misses the crucifixion, misses the resurrection. Mary goes, where have you laid him? Mary, oh, it's you. Go and tell. Peter. Oh, Pete's always there, isn't he? He made more mistakes than the rest of them, but somehow Jesus like, right, Pete. There's a day of Pentecost down there. In a few more years, I met you this day, but in a few years, Pete, you're going to say something to this world that is going to blow your mind and change the rest of the world for eternity. And he said, come on, Pete, you made a mistake. Come on, yeah, you've cussed her out. Yeah, you're trying to kill him. Come on. Yes, you missed the resurrection. Yes, you missed the crucifixion. Come on, Pete. Because there's a day of Pentecost, folks, that every one of us have. We would just keep getting up again after you make your mistakes. Don't get all stupid on ourselves. Get up and say, God, I'm coming up again. I've said something stupid. I've done something stupid. I'm getting up again. Here's my hand. Pick me up. Keep me going. Come on, Jesus. And he's going, come on. Keep coming. Keep coming, because you've got a day of Pentecost coming. And I'm going to close with this, folks. I'm going to shut it down with this. This is the same Peter when she gets to the house, knocking the door, gets him out of bed. Pete, he's risen. Oh, shut up, you silly woman. Pete, I've seen him, and he's told me to come and get you. He has risen. And Pete takes off with John, gets down there. He misses everything. But all of a sudden, he didn't miss the ascension, did he? Now, all of a sudden, in the book of Acts, Peter's mentioned of being in the upper room. Woo! I think he's finally got his mind around this and he's got his life around it. I ain't missing anything else. Go to the upper room. Okay, I'm getting this. Oh, Jesus, I've messed up so many times. It's ridiculous. And he goes to the upper room. And what happens? The Holy Ghost falls in the room. We know what the story is in the book of Acts chapter 2, the birth of the church. Birth of the church. And suddenly there came from heaven like a sound of a mighty rushing wind that filled all the house where they were all sitting. And cloven tongues of fire sat upon each of them. And what? Filled them with his spirit, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. So for 3 hours, everyone, Mary, the mother of Jesus, his brothers and sisters, the disciples, only 120 out of 500 made it in 1 week. God, there's something wrong with us. If I watched Jesus leave the earth, I would do my best to get to that upper room. Woo! Oh, my God. Yes, that's you. You are. I'll be there. I'll be there next week. Tell me what I've got to do. If I've got to preach, I'll preach. If I've got to worship, I'll worship. If I've got to praise, I'll praise. God, you laid your life down for me. I'm going to give my life back to you. I'm going to live this life according to what you want me to have in this life. Not me anymore. No longer me, Jesus. All about you, Father. All about you. So what happens? They're dancing and singing at the day of Pentecost and they're going crazy for 3 hours. 3 hours. And then some nutcase goes, they're all drunk. You got family members that say that about us. We got friends that go, you don't have to do that in church. I'll be quiet. You haven't got a clue what you're talking about. Just like that guy at the day of Pentecost. They're all drunk, look. And then who stands up? Peter. Hey, you lot. If you read the Greek, it's really descriptive. He didn't go, oh, by the way, can I just interrupt you for 1 second? Can you, shh, everybody out there, shh, I don't want to be disturbed. I don't want to offend you with the truth. He went, hey, shut up and listen. This is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. And you knew about it. So where was you? You knew this day was coming. And you missed it. And he began to preach to them. He began to witness to them. And a short message, he turned around and says, you killed him. You killed him, not me. Ha ha. You did it. And I said, Lord, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now look, he hasn't used these keys once. Just like some of us. And he goes, repent. Every one of you, not just a few of you, but every one of you. And be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh God, those are those keys, aren't they? I got them. I got this, Jesus. No longer am I going to keep doing the stuff I've always done. No longer am I going to get the silly things in my life. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to dedicate this life to you. Who was the first coming out of the city, the Gate Beautiful. Who was the first one that God wrought the miracles through? Peter. Rise up and walk. I got no silver and gold, but what I'm going to give you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Something clicked in that man's heart. And I'm praying today that something's going to click in your hearts too. Something is going to make more sense than ever before that you have those keys, just like Peter the Apostle. And I know you haven't done the things like he did. I know you haven't tried to do stuff that would absolutely put God, because God will never be put off you. It doesn't matter what you do or what you say, as long as you keep putting your hand up. And what happens? He gives the complete message of salvation to the Jews. And then in the book of Acts chapter 10, this is Peter. He now has angels appearing, talking to him, while other people have angels appearing and talking to them. This is when you're living for God. He was out there, just like he tried that first day. He was out off the boat, and he was out in the supernatural. He now had angels talking to him, and he had people coming to get him to take this incredible gospel message for the first time to the Gentiles. And he goes with them. Go with these men. And when he gets by the house of Cornelius, Cornelius comes running up and he bows at his feet. And Peter bends down and remembers the very first time he said, "Thou art the Christ." Because Jesus said, "You're just a man, Peter. That's all you are, just an earthly human being." And he bends down and he says, "Cornelius, get up. I'm just a man. I'm just like every one of you." And the man walks into the house. And as yet, while he was preaching the word of God to them, the Holy Ghost fell upon everybody in the house of Cornelius. Peter the Apostle, folks. I'm sure that so many of us are here today. And we've made mistakes, but and it holds us back and it hinders us. Fear gets hold of us or grips hold of us. We don't want to really shout this out from the rooftops. But folks, when you start to realize who you really are and what you really have, that's when the miraculous begins. When you step off the boat, you step out of the normal way of life and you start to say, "Come on, God, use me like I've never been used before. Let me see what I'm supposed to see. Let me hear your words like I've never heard before." Come on, folks. If you are sitting here today and you need the Holy Ghost, if you need a refreshing of the Holy Ghost, if you want to come and put down some mistakes of life and some issues of life that you just want to lay down at an altar, and just say, "God, I'm here. I am fed up of carrying stuff. I'm fed up of not really being who I'm supposed to be. I am fed up of not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, Jesus. I want to see everything that you want me to see." Come on, folks, let's come and pray. Would you come and pray with me this morning? Would you come and lay your lives down on an altar? And just give yourselves up today and say, "God, all the mistakes that I've ever made, I am not going to let it hinder me anymore." Come on, Jesus, bless us today. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your patience. But God, here I am today. I lay this life down at your feet. I lay my life down, Father, the way you laid your life down for me. I'm going to give you my life. And Father, use this life. Let me go out of the four walls today and take this gospel to Birmingham, Alabama. Let me take the gospel to my family, to my mother, my father, my brothers and my sisters. Come on, folks. Come on, church. Lift up your hand, lift up your voice.
Thank you, Jesus.
Come on, Jesus, and bless us.
Jesus.
on, Jesus. I lay this heart down for you, God. You know where I've been. You know what I've done. You know what I've said. You know what I think. Touch this man's heart, Father, again and again and again. The hearts of these people, Jesus. Fall upon us, God. Bless us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.